We are going to be in Acts chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. Oops. Okay, so now, anyway, we're going right now, right? Jeremiah? Yeah, okay, wonderful. Thank you very much. Okay. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Going to stop there. How do you deal with interruptions in life? How do you deal with interruptions in life? You know, it happens to all of us, every one of us. You know those days when you have a plan of what you're going to do and the things you want to accomplish? You think, you know, I've set this time aside, I've gotten everything ready. I've kind of fixed all the stuff that needed to get fixed. I've done all those other little tasks, and now I have this time. And I want to do this thing, and I'm excited about doing it. And you're ready, and you start getting into it, and then it happens. That person who has no consideration for your time, they have no idea about what personal space is. You know, they don't even ask if they're interrupting you. Not at all. They just all of a sudden come in and share their problem with you, and now their problem becomes your problem. You can kind of tell how I deal with interruptions, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes not in the greatest way. But they happen to us all. We're going to start in a series right now. I'm calling it the God Search. A God Search. Because what we're going to be doing, we're going through this book called Experiencing God, it's really what it is. It's looking and seeing how God is working in our lives. It's searching for Him. It's kind of opening up our eyes to say, you know what? God's working all the time, and He's always doing stuff. And we, as we're going to walk through, we're going to realize, you know, we haven't been paying attention maybe as well as we should. But we're going to start this 8-week series on experiencing God, and I'm calling it, like I said, a God search. And so during this time, my prayer is that, one, we're going to discover that God is working, and also I want us to realize God is interrupting our lives on purpose. He's doing it. And my prayer is that, one, every week when we'd come together, we would have stories. We would have stories of what we have sensed God doing this last week in our lives. And we'd be able to share it here on Sabbath. And in doing that, we would kind of encourage each other. I mean, I've been in different places where kind of people give little testimonies of what's happened. And I realized those testimonies help. They help people understand what has happened and that God is at work, and even maybe cause us to be more conscious of looking and seeing, wow, maybe that's happening in my life and I just missed it. I just missed it. And so I want to make space every week to kind of talk about that. The book of Acts is filled with stories of men and women who experienced God, and also who God came and brought divine interruptions into their life. And they responded. They responded in a way that really honored God. We're going to talk about this story today. Peter and John. Peter and John, they were off. They were off, it says, they were going to temple. They were going to temple, and it was a time of prayer. I mean, you figure at this time of the church's life, it was a very young church. There was 3,000 new believers that had come to Christ on Pentecost. And this was just a little bit after that. I'm sure for Peter and John, it was a time of prayer. It's probably a perfect time to say, hey, let's meet at temple and let's gather together. They're probably going there not only to pray, but also to meet with those new believers. There might have even been a discipleship program going on. You know, so they're on their way. They got this stuff to do. They got this plan in their head of what's going to happen that day. You know, and then all of a sudden it happens. Hey, you got a couple of quarters I could borrow? You know, if we're going to experience God, if we're really choosing to say we want to experience God, we need to be willing for God to interrupt our plans. We need to be willing. We must be willing for God to interrupt our plans. See, we've been brought into a kingdom with a king who loves interrupting our plans. All right? He does. All right? We've just gone through this whole Christmas season where we saw, did God interrupt Zacharias' plans? Absolutely, right? Right? I mean, he was in there getting ready for doing his thing, his offering, and all of a sudden, angels there interrupted his plans big time. You know, we saw the story of Mary, all right, where God came in her life, where all of a sudden she was just going around daily business, doing her stuff, and all of a sudden God came and interrupted her plans in a big time way, right? Says surprise, surprise, surprise. You know, we looked at Joseph. Looked at Joseph. Joseph had a plan for his life, and God says, "Well, wait a second. Tell you what, nice idea, but you know, here's a plan that's going to really change stuff that you're doing and what's going to happen in your life." Not only that, but then we saw the shepherds. And the shepherds were out just doing their normal stuff. And all of a sudden, an angel comes to them. Surprises them, totally interrupts their evening. Totally ruins them. And wrecks them. For just the ordinary, to where now life is not ordinary any longer. And God does this, and God does this through Scripture. Where all of a sudden he comes and he interrupts people's lives and what they think they're going to be doing. And brings a change about. And those people who are ready for it, man, they move with the change of God because they were willing to allow God to interrupt their plans. Now, there's also people that God, in the Scripture, where God comes and he's trying to interrupt their plans, and you know what? They say, yeah, not right now. I don't think so. Not too much. And maybe tomorrow. Mañana. You know, you look at the Old Testament prophets who would continue to come to the people of Israel and say, repent, turn, do this, please. Say, not today. You know, everything's going good. We're okay. We're fine. Not a big deal. You know, and they didn't change when God says, I want to interrupt your life. I want to interrupt your plans. You know, you see that when Jesus spoke to even the scribes and the Pharisees, he was trying to interrupt their plans big time. The religious leaders of the day. And yet they weren't having any of it. A lot of them didn't have any of it, didn't want it. And so we're kind of, as a church, we're into this time where we're saying, God, okay, to me it's a little scary, all right? Because all of a sudden saying, okay, I'm willing to allow you to interrupt my plans. I'm willing. Because guaranteed it, like I said last week, I said a lot of us have plans for our lives. Because if we don't plan our life, somebody else will. And when we're saying, Lord, we want to experience you, we need to be willing for God to interrupt our lives. We need to be willing. Now, being willing to do something, it's not hard, as long as it doesn't happen. Right? I'm willing. Just don't let it happen. You know, I'm part of a ministry called Celebrate Recovery. And in that ministry, it deals with people's hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And we kind of follow the 12 steps of AA. And if you're familiar with that at all, it's like the eighth step in AA. But the thing with Celebrate Recovery is we see God. We see as far as how we know God, we know Him as Jesus Christ. All right, in Celebrate Recovery. So it's really a Christ-centered ministry to help people with their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. But we still follow the principles. But in principle number 8 of the 12 steps, the 12 steps is, I am willing to make amends with those I have hurt and that have hurt me. I'm willing. That's not too bad. But the thing is, when you do that, it's like they don't tell you about, well, what's the 9th step? And the 9th step is making amends. Dang. You know? You know, and so the thing is to be willing to allow God to interrupt our lives. You know, that's not so bad. But then when He does it, then how do we respond? When He does, because He will. You know, I have a friend of mine who prays this prayer every day. They say, Lord, you know what? This is my day. These are the things that I have planned for my day. Lord, I need to do this, I need to do this, I have to go here, I have to speak to this person. But Lord, if at any time you want to interrupt my day, I give you permission. I give you permission to interrupt my day and the things that I have planned. being willing. Now, for some of us, like I said, it's easy to say that, but then when God does it, how are we going to respond? Because He will. He will. I see too many times in Scripture, and I've walked through it too many times in my own life, where God will interrupt my day, and He will. So you need to be willing. Need to be willing to let God interrupt our lives. And that's what Peter and John, they were willing to do, and God did. And when the interruption came, and it will for us, the second thing, don't ignore the interruptions of life. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. This is now a suggestion for all of us, you know. Don't ignore the interruptions. Peter didn't. The thing is, the man asked for something that Peter didn't have. And so Peter could have easily ignored it. But instead of ignoring it, because he couldn't provide what the man needed, Peter said, look at us. Look at us. And it's like he had that eye contact. He had that eye contact with a guy. You know, it could be that sick friend or that sick person at work. You know, that all of a sudden you find out, hey, they're sick. Well, don't ignore that as maybe it might be something from God. Maybe God would have you pray for them. That'd be a wonderful thing. I mean, when somebody says something and they're sick and they say, oh, stay away from me, I'm sick. And you go up, can I just pray for you? Make that kind of a divine encounter with God. Maybe you hear something on the TV or the radio that touches your heart. It's, man, this is real truth. And then God puts on your heart, maybe I need to share this with my spouse or my friend and talk about this. Because I think this is really going to impact our lives. Maybe it's a person who pops up in your mind, you know, that, oh man, they had surgery, or they were sick, or man, they're walking through a tough time. Maybe I just send them an email or call them or just send them an encouraging word. Maybe as God brings new people into church on the Sabbath and they sit next to you to where all of a sudden, hey, this could be a divine encounter. Lord, help me to allow you to make interruptions in my life. And Lord, I don't want to ignore this. I don't want to ignore this. On Tammy and I have kind of been planning and doing things about possibly fixing different parts of our house. You know, when you get a house, it's like it's never done. You're never done. Just how it is. It's just you're never done. There's always something to do. Well, we've been kind of saving, and I figured, you know, she was going to be gone this week. She had a flight. She's actually flying troops back from Afghanistan. And so I thought, you know, I want to do something special. So I went out and we have this little brick area. It's about 9 feet by 25 feet. And it was all concrete before. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to brick that in for her. And so I went out this, you know, on a Tuesday, and I got all the bricks, got all the stuff, got it all set up. I figured I had this time off. I didn't have another little job going on, and so I was going to do this week. And I got my table saw, wet saw out there, and I had all the bricks, the sand, and I was getting everything laid out. And all of a sudden, I hear the dog starting to go crazy in my house. I'm going, it's probably just the mailman. So I just keep on doing my stuff, and they're just barking, barking, barking. I'm going, shut up, shut up, you know, and I'm screaming at them. They don't stop. They don't stop for nothing. You know, so I keep going, somebody at the stupid door, don't they know that I'm back, I got stuff I gotta do. What's wrong with them? You know, so I go walk in the house, and I'm just frustrated. Open the door, and I see these two Tonga men, one of the guys who I'd known before, and done a little bit of work for me, and they're just standing there, and I'm kind of irritated, you know. I'm kind of irritated, thinking, what do you want, you know? But I don't say it like that. I say, oh, hi, how are you? You know, because that's how you act sometimes when you're irritated, you know, and you feel like you've been interrupted. You know, you try to be polite a little bit, hoping they'll just go away. Or you try to be like the priest or the Levite who, when they saw the guy that was beaten up, they walked along this the other side of the road, didn't even get eye contact. You know, sometimes we feel like, so I thought, what do you want? You know, and the guy says, oh, you know, how are you? And I said, I'm fine. I'm doing fine. You know, you're interrupting me. I didn't say that, but that's how I was feeling. You know, and I said, how was your how was your Christmas? Oh, it was okay, but just no work. Not my problem. You know, it's so we talk, you know, and two of them, and so he goes, Jim, he says, you know, you want me to trim your tree in the back, you know, last year. You want me to trim it now? I said, how am I? Yeah, that's what I was saying. I just want to buy. I got stuff I got to do. I got bricks back there. I want to put them down, you know. And so I said, well, how much is it going to cost? He says, well, let me look at it again. So I said, okay. So they walk in the back with me, and so he's looking up, and you know, he gives me a price of trimming the tree and getting it all done, taking it all away, you know. And then he looks and he sees all the brick. And he says, oh, you're doing brickwork. He says, hey, how about if we help you? I said, no. I'm fine. You know, and I have enough money for me to do it that I don't have any work this week. I'm just doing, you know. You know. But then God speaks to me. I'm going, Lord, really? You know, so I said, okay, tell you what, come tomorrow and trim the tree. He says, yeah, we'll come and help you do the brickwork. He says, well, whatever. You know, and so it was whatever. But I didn't ignore the problem completely, although I was hoping that they would just go away, but I knew they were going to come back probably the next day. But I did. I prayed. I said, Lord, you know, what would you do? He says, I help them. So they gave me a price for cutting the tree and the tree. I says, okay, you guys come trim the tree tomorrow, and then we'll see what'll happen, you know? And so, anyway, as we go on with the story, one, we need to be willing to let God interrupt our day, because I was thinking about this message too, you know? And I was thinking, okay, God, here we are. I'm thinking about this message. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? So I was willing, Lord, to let you interrupt my plans, and I tried not to ignore the plan, ignore the interruption. The third thing we need to do, we need to pray and ask God, God, what should we do? What am I supposed to do? Now that I've been interrupted, I feel you're interrupting my life, you know? And as I look and I sense, God, something's happening here. Lord, I need to pray. I need to pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now what do you want me to do? I'm sure Peter sent up that quick prayer, you know, as they walked by and as the guy was there and said, hey, can you spare a quarter or two? You know, Peter didn't ignore it. You know, he looked and he didn't ignore the interruption. But I'm sure when he said, look at us, you know, silver and gold, we don't have. But I'm sure that time, man, he sent up a quick prayer. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to respond? Because as God does interrupt our lives and as we're wanting to experience Him, He's wanting us to more be dependent on Him. Depend on His purposes, His power. He's at work. He's doing something. And now He's saying, okay, depend on me. Depend on me. Look at me. Look to me. Situations are going to arise. Just don't think that you can just kind of do anything, but depend on me. And this is what He did. He says, you know what? What you want, that need I can't meet. I can't meet that need. He says, silver and gold we don't have. But what I do have, I'm going to give to you. You know, I believe that he prayed and he asked God. He says, you know what? I don't have this, but Lord, this is what I do have. This is what I'm going to give him. Pray and ask God, what should I do? What should I do? See, I believe that not all interruptions in life are from God, but there are interruptions in life that are from God, and we need to respond. And we need to ask. We need to ask. Those guys came over in the morning, and they started, you know, they trimmed the tree, you know, and I was down there trying to figure out the whole angle because it wasn't square where I was going to be putting these bricks. It wasn't square at all. You know, there was, and so I was trying to figure out, man, how am I going to make this work? What's it going to do to look right? How's it going to look nice? You know, and then as these guys are doing it, one of the guys got down. He says, hey, why don't you try this and do this? I says, well, why should I do it? He says, well, I'm actually a brick mason. Oh, really? God, thank you. You know, and so what he did, he came, and I mean, they helped me all day long. He helped line it up, helped show me the little tricks, helped get stuff together, and he just kept saying, go get more bricks, go get more sand, go get more bricks, you know? And so it's almost completely done. Do you have a picture of that? You know, so I got the silica sand in there right now, but I mean, he said, because I couldn't figure out how to make it work. And he says, well, when you have that type of thing, you do the diamond herringbone. I said, I kind of know herringbone. What the heck's diamond herringbone? Well, that's where you put little angles in it, you know, to make it to where all of a sudden, even if you don't have a square area, it'll look square and it looks really nice with the. And this guy helped me set it all. He did about half of my patio that day. Wow. You know? And I just thought, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. Just kind. Tammy's going to be so excited when she gets home tomorrow. You know? You know? But so, you need to ask and pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? Because then watch what God does. Fourth, you need to respond with faith. Respond with faith. When God brings an interruption into our lives, one, we need to be willing to allow Him to bring that interruption, then not ignore it. Then pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond in this situation? And then when God does say something, we need to respond by faith. Respond with faith. Peter said to the man, you know, in the name of Jesus, this, I don't have what you want, but I'm going to give you what I believe you need. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, walk. And it says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Now, to me, this was a very ballsy move, all right? To the Jews, that say this took a lot of chutzpah, right? You know, for him to, because I mean, that takes a lot of faith, you know, to actually respond like that. But when you sense God is doing something, And that's what we're doing. As we're walking out, we're saying, God, we believe you want to work. We believe that when you're inviting us to be a part of what you're doing. And so, Lord, as you share with us and as you open our eyes, help us to respond with faith, believing that, God, you're leading, you're guiding. You know, these guys that came over, you know, one of the guys, actually the bricklayer, he said he was a Mormon elder. And so then I thought, God, this is really weird now, you know. Not, what the heck am I supposed to do with this, you know? You know, and so he wanted to talk, you know, during the day about just about my faith, his faith. I'm a guy, some guys can actually do that. I get very focused, and I'm very, just very narrow-minded. I'll either talk to you or I'll work. You know, one of the two. Can't do both, you know? And I wanted to work. Sorry, God. So anyway, you know, but he wanted to talk, and so we were talking, but towards the middle of the day, I went and bought him lunch, and they were all done with the tree, and now they were both just working on my, and I thought, you know, guys, how much is this going to cost me? Because I don't want to be surprised at the end of the day. You know? And they say, oh, it'll be okay. You know, you're a pastor, you help at other places. You know, it'll be okay. And I had told them before, the day before, I said, here's the deal. You know, I don't have much money, and so I don't know if I can even pay you to come tomorrow, but if you want to come, go ahead. Now they're here all day long. So now all of a sudden I'm going, uh-oh, you know, what's this going to cost? What's this going to be? But they said, don't worry about it. So at that point I said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you and just keep working through the day, believing that, Lord, you're going to make things right. You're going to make things right. I mean, I believe that when a laborer is worthy of his hire, and even though I didn't ask them to do any of this, they'd kind of taken it on themselves to stay and work, but it sure looked nice. anyway, come the end of the day, you know, I mean, I paid them a very fair wage, and I felt good about it, and they felt good about it. And so everything worked out fine in that way, and then, like I say, I was able to kind of then continue on because all of a sudden he showed me a bunch of stuff that I would have never known before. But I believe that it was kind of a stepping out in faith and saying, God, you're doing something here. You're doing something here. To bless my wife, to bless these guys, because they didn't have any work. You know, to be an encouragement. And I think that I believe that one, God is going to be bringing stuff into our lives constantly. Gosh, I thought this was going to be a very short message, and it's not. So sorry. So, but anyway, I'm going to keep on going just because. We need to respond by faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe that he both exists and that he cares for those. He cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Next thing, after you respond by faith, write it down. Write it down. We've given you guys a notebook. We've given you a notebook to write down the things that you see God doing in your life. You know, I believe it's time to start a new trend. I was talking to Dexter earlier because, one, here's the deal. I forget a lot of things now, all right? There's just not much more room up inside there, I don't think, you know? I forget a ton of stuff. You know, and I went to Dexter, and so this morning I was saying, Dexter, I said, you know, you have, if you ever talk to him, and you guys all do, he has an anecdote for everything, right? He does. You know, and he has a story, he has something. He usually comes in the morning, you know, and I'm in there praying or studying, and he comes up with some little anecdote. I go, God, that's really good, Dexter. Where'd you get that? You know, I said, Dexter, I said, do you have an anecdote, you know, for as far as just, you know, memory and memory loss? He says, yeah, he says, I really do. He says, but I forgot it. I said, that's perfect. You know, and the thing is that we want you to write down, one, because I want you to remember. I want you to remember things. And that's why we've given you this notebook on writing down what you're sensing God doing, because we want you to remember so you can look back and say, this is what God did. This is what God said. This, and I wrote these things down. If God, this is what you did. You brought these guys here. You interrupted me this week. You did it. You interrupted for your purposes and your God, because you wanted to do something, because you wanted to show me the Lord, you care for me. You care for my wife. And you did this, God. I could have ignored it, but Lord, you brought it about. And so I wrote these things down. Romans 15:4, it says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and encouragement they provide, we might have hope. The last thing. Share it with somebody. Share it with someone. Share it with somebody. Share what God is doing in our lives with somebody else. The reason why I want to do this on Sabbath, as we come on a Sabbath and share with each other, is because I believe that faith begets faith. You know, when God is doing something in your life, all of a sudden somebody's going to be looking for God to do it in their lives. You know, when you're encouraged by something, you're excited about what God is doing, it's like, I want to get on that train with you. And when we're looking, we're all looking to see, God, what are you doing? Where are you moving? What's happening? That one will be able to share, will be able to encourage each other as we walk this life together. All right?